Welcome, everyone. This is all about real estate investing, and we have a group called the Happy House Hunters. We also have a lady landlord group out of Cleveland. Believe it or not, it's just the lady landlords of Ohio, but the bulk of our members are in the Cleveland area because lots of things were happening up there with rentals and landlording, if you will. And so we're getting a lot of questions out of Cleveland. And so we have a gal that also co-hosts with me for that group. And her name is Andora Marshall. And you can find the Landlord Ladies of Ohio as a Facebook group. And so you can tap in, and it's a private group. And that way you can tap in and see all of those really personal questions that the gals are asking. Today, we're going to talk about the six F's of real estate, how to find it. Then how to fund it, how to fix it, and then are you going to flip it or are you going to fill it? And then finally, what is your freedom number? How many of those do you have to do to make that day job optional? And so Kyle is my co-host on this particular group today, and we go through the six F's of real estate every 6 months. So January through June, and then in July, we get to start over and we have different speakers, different topics, different insights. And so we are starting from the top again this month of the six F's. And so we're talking about finding the next deal and just what is the state of real estate investing right now. And so I'm going to give you just a little bit of background about me, and then I'm going to turn it over to Kyle. I'm a passive income mentor, as you can see in my little Hollywood square here. But I have an academy called the Kathy Benner International Academy. You can find it at just kathybenner.com. I'll put that in the chat for everyone as well. And once you get there, you will find all of our replays. And we do talk about short-term rentals. We talk about long-term rentals. We talk about mid-term rentals. And then we also talk about commercial rentals and also residential. And so we're pretty well diversified and anything to do with real estate investing. And it is my passive income. So I can kind of explore other things like health and fitness and riding. And of course, I love to travel. Our most recent international trip is that we backpacked across London and Paris several weeks ago. So hopefully we'll get to do some more of that this fall. Anyway, that's about me. I'm going to put that in the chat so that you can connect with me at kathybenner.com. And I'm going to turn it over to Kyle. And Kyle, please feel free to share your screen. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to be where you are today, and then what it is that you're sharing. Over to you, Kyle.
All right, thanks. Hi, everyone. As Kathy said, my name is Kyle Brandon, and I am a licensed realtor. And I'm having some possible lighting difficulties today. So we're going to be looking at my screen and not me anyway, thank goodness. So, but my house is under construction, and so there's only a limited number of places where I can try to broadcast from. So, of course, we'll see how it goes. But I'm going to try to share my screen here. Do, 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 do. And you guys tell me if you can see it.
Yes, we can.
Right, with the magnifying glass. So today we're talking about how to find deals, how to find properties, how to find opportunities. And really that's the crux of it. That's the crux of it today. How do you find those deals? Where are all these deals people are talking about that they're getting? So there's kind of a smattering of options out there. Of course, everyone probably knows, Zillow and Realtor.com and Trulia, but we're going to get into some of the other options that you might not be aware of or things that might not have occurred to you before. But yeah, so step one in getting started in real estate is finding those deals. So let's talk about finding those
And
deals.
it doesn't really matter what your exit strategy is. We're just talking today on how to find the deal, whether you're going to do long-term, short-term, mid-term, commercial, residential, whatever. It's just finding the deal that make the numbers work. And so that's what we're talking about today. So it kind of encompasses all of the exit strategies.
Right. You can do anything you want with it after you find it, but you got to find it first. That's the horse in front of the cart is you got to get out there and find them. And finding is half the fun, so they say, right?
Actually, it is. It's my hobby.
Mine too. Yep. Yeah, instead of doom scrolling, I doom scroll through Realtor.com and Zillow and listings. That's what I do.
I found several that way. by the
Oh,
way.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. So, Kyle, who? What's going on? Who am I? What's happening? Why should we listen to this guy's opinion? Well, I've got a strong background in information technology, and project management and statistical analysis because of my previous degrees and jobs. But I have been working as a licensed realtor now for 12 years, and I've got five certifications under my belt. And I think I'm a successful salesperson because, or a successful realtor. Because I'm not a salesperson. I'm not a pushy salesperson, you know. I just facts are facts. I mean, they speak for themselves. I consider myself an educator. And if you don't understand a fact, or if you need me to interpret a fact for you, that's what I do. But I don't like to be a pushy salesperson because I myself don't like to have pushy salespeople come after me. So I know what the other side of that coin is like. So that's kind of my niche and my vibe as a realtor. And I belong to three different multiple listing services, Central Ohio, which is Columbus, which covers down to Lancaster and Canal Winchester, where Kathy is. And then up here where my home is that I'm renovating in Mansfield, where they have a separate MLS from Columbus. And then next to Mansfield, we've got another little city, Ashland, that I'm on theirs too. So those are the three that I personally belong to, but through my network and my company, I can access basically any network across the country and around the globe too, because my company is an international brokerage. So that's step one. If you're looking for a deal, you got to look far and wide right now. You got to have access to the networks where the homes are listed. So working with a realtor, a well-connected realtor, is pretty key. I'm also a residential real estate council member. I'm a committee member on the DEI, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Of course, I'm on the advisory board for Kathy Benner's Happy House Hunters. And recently, I'm a published and contributing author of the Freestyle Living magazine, which, if you haven't checked it out yet, you'll have to check it out. It's pretty good stuff. And also, I'm in it with you guys. I am a homeowner, I am an investor, and an aspiring general contractor, apparently. I'm learning all of the tricks of the trade, learning lots of new skills, doing lots of renovations and remodeling myself to try to save some money, try to get that freedom number a little sooner, right, Kathy?
I think you're doing a great job. I've been following you on your social media, and Kyle is not afraid to roll up his sleeves and figure it out. I love that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And here there's a picture of one of my favorite books that I've read recently, Confessions of a Corporate Real Estate Hitman. I don't know if it's an autobiography or a pseudo autobiography, but it's a pretty fun read. He does more of like the commercial side of things, but still, you know, real estate is real estate, and the stories that we could tell, right? So he did. He told him he wrote a book about it, and it's pretty good. So you can check that out too. But first, get over and get you a copy of Freestyle Living magazine. Here's the cover from our latest edition. From spring 2025, and summer is coming hot off the presses soon, right,
Yes.
Catherine?
Yes. I just talked to Katie this morning. It should be this week.
All right, exciting stuff.
Yes. And you can find the magazine at kathybenner.com. It's on one of the tabs. It'll just say Freestyle Living Magazine. So feel free to go to kathybenner.com. That's the shortest URL I can give you.
Well,
Just
actually, when I went to
kathybenner.com
Google,
and scroll to the magazine.
just go to Google and type in Freestyle Living
That's,
Magazine. Comes
yep.
right up. Comes right up.
Perfect.
What would we do without our Google?
Yes.
So, what is a deal and why is it so hard to find? So, let's talk about what is a deal. A deal looks different to everybody, right? What are you trying to accomplish? Right? Are you looking for your first home? Are you a first-time buyer looking to get out of rent? Right? Then that's a deal, getting a house. Are you an investor looking to make money? Does the deal cash flow? Can you get the deal on, can you get the property on a discount up front? Is that your deal? Are you a parent and you've got several kids and you're trying to get them into the best school system in town, and all of the houses are selling, you know, for over asking price in multiple offer situations. Well, in that scenario, getting the deal is winning a bid war, right? So what a deal is looks different to every person, depending on what they're trying to accomplish. So there is no uniform answer as to, hey, send me some deals. Okay, well, I need to know what you're looking for. What do you define as a deal? Because all of those scenarios are true. I had a gal last summer. She, I'll say, overpaid. No, she didn't overpay. She had to go $30,000 over asking price, and she beat out, three or four other people. And she got the house of her dreams in the school system that she wanted for her kids, and they're going to live there, for the next 20, 30 years. So to her, that was a deal. Paying $30,000 over asking price, that was the deal. Winning the bid war was the deal for her. And other people, they want a deal, hey, I paid $30,000 under asking price. That was my deal, right? So a deal looks different to everybody. So if you don't know what you're looking for, that would be something you might want to sit down and start to write out a list, your buy box. What are you looking for? What options are you looking for? And of course, the more flexible you can be, the better chances you're going to have to find a deal. If you get real specific, that pool of options starts to narrow down. So if you have an open mind, you'll have a better chances for finding a deal, or whatever you define as a deal. But then once you know what you're looking for, why is it so hard to find? What's going on? Have you ever gone to the store looking for something and they're sold out, or they don't have, what you're looking for, or it's out of stock or something like that? That's the state of the real estate market right now, at least in Central Ohio. We are in a housing shortage. There is a shortage of housing. There are more people looking to buy houses than there are houses for sale. There are more licensed real estate agents in the state of Ohio than there are houses for sale. It's crazy. So that's why it's so hard to find a deal. There's very limited inventory. We say inventory, listings out there. There's very few options out there because there's so much demand and so little supply here in Central Ohio. And the causes of that, are many, and we won't go into those, but that is a summary of why it is so hard to find a deal right now. It's just there's a shortage, and we've been in a bit of a drought for a while, and they don't think it's going to get any better anytime soon because of supply chain issues and, all the various things. They said, even if we could build, and we're building new construction, even if we could build at maximum capacity as fast as we can, it would still take us 5 to 7 years to catch up, to build enough housing for the demand that currently exists. So if you're like, oh, I'm gonna wait till next year to buy that house, things will change and get better next year. The outlook is it's gonna be a bit of a drought for a while. So if you do find any deals, jump on them. Or if you're not finding any deals, maybe open your mind, redefine what a deal is to you, and then maybe you'll have a bit more luck, hopefully.
All great points. I know I'm constantly looking. I probably jump on line and I'm looking for real estate. I imagine about an hour a day, sometimes more, but about an hour a day. And my last deal, and I did a whole boots on the ground recording. I haven't posted it yet, Kyle. This is one that I just did online for the Corey Group, the big Corey Group in Columbus. They asked me to present the member deal of the month, and so I presented this one, and they sent me a copy. So I'm going to post that. But anyway, this particular deal was a condo that I wasn't even looking for. And a realtor called, and she said, "Hey, I've got a condo available in an area where you already have one. I was interested." She said, "We're calling for highest and best by 5 o'clock." She said, "I just got wind of it. I thought of you. I put in my highest and best, and I didn't get it." And I was like, "Oh, darn!" I wasn't even looking, but then I was disappointed that I didn't get it. And then she said, "By the way," she said, my partner in the real estate business also has one that's not listed yet. It's not on the MLS yet." And she said, "I don't know if you'd be interested in it, if you just can't." Well, it wasn't even in the same town. But I said, "You know what? I'm in the car. Let me just drive by." So I drove over to where the second unit was. Kyle, I fell in love with it. Fell in love with it. Now, I don't get emotionally connected to my properties, generally speaking, but
Knock on wood.
this one had all, it was in a sweet spot. It's a 2-bedroom condo with a garage. And it adjoins a 10-mile paved hiking biking path. all wooded, a nice little creek runs through the back. And so I made an offer and I lowballed it. I looked at the ARV, and the sellers had bought this for their son. A husband and wife had bought it for their adult son. His job was relocating him, and they did not want to continue to pay the HOA or the maintenance on this unit. And so they put it on the market, they put a price on it. I looked at the ARV, what it would be, and of course there wasn't a whole lot to do, so it was pretty much ready to move in. And I offered 70% to ARV, and they took it. They
Cash.
accepted it, and yes, and so I got in the deal within a couple of weeks, and I wasn't even looking that day to buy another condo. And so now the sweet spot, and Kyle mentioned the magazine, so this is a perfect segue. So Katie is our creative editor of the magazine, the Freestyle Living magazine, and she lived in yet another town on the other side. And this place where this condo is right in between where I live and where Katie lived. Well, Katie called me like the same week I was closing, and she goes, "You by chance wouldn't happen to have sort of a con or a, any kind of a unit for rent, would you?" And I said, "Well, I'm getting ready to close on one. Why?" And she said, "I'll take it." And I said, "We haven't even seen it." And she goes, "I know, but," she said, "my fiance and I have decided that we are going to amicably split." And she said, "And I don't want to have to buy furniture." I said, "Well, this one's going to be fully furnished as a midterm." And she goes, "I'll take it." So I had it rented before I even closed on it.
That's hilarious.
And
And
Kate,
that's very on brand for Kathy Binner.
so anyway, so yes, so sometimes you have to be open to what a deal, way more than what I normally spend, but still less than the ARV of this unit, and a perfect location if some year I want to downsize and not run a bed and breakfast out of my home like I'm doing currently, this would be a perfect landing spot, even for me. So anyway, I love it.
See,
So
that's
again,
great.
you've got to open your
Deals
mind to what a deal is.
sometimes just fall out of the sky, as long as, like you said, maybe that didn't exactly fit your buy box or you weren't even looking. It's like, at the checkout aisle of the grocery store, oh, I didn't know I wanted that candy bar.
Exactly. Anyway, it's one of my favorite units, and so there you go. That's one of those
Awesome.
stories. Yes.
That's the, those are awesome stories. So it is hard to find deals. And so here's a market summary. This is from the Central Ohio Columbus MLS. And so this is just June 2025. This is just last month's summary. So we're in the middle of July here. So things to look at here, interestingly enough, I like to look at the listing price here. The average listing price in Columbus is about $370,000 to purchase a home in Central Ohio. And that was about $270,000 like 5 years ago. So in 5 years, the average home value has gone from 270 to 370 on the Columbus MLS. That's a $100,000 gain in 5 years. That's $20,000 a year. That's over $1,000 a month. Homes are going up in value and steadily for the last 5 years. And again, because of the housing shortage and the crisis, they expect that to continue. So if you're waiting for prices to come down, you might be waiting for a long time. So get in the game and start buying some properties. But it's kind of hard. Look at our absorption rate here. This next, can you see my mouse moving where I'm pointing?
Yes.
The next little graph here is absorption rate. And what that means is if we stopped listing houses, stopped adding new houses for sale to the MLS, how soon would we run out of listings? And that says 2.3, and that's in months. So we've got about 2.3 months worth of inventory right now, which you're like, okay, is that a lot or a little? I don't know. A stable market, a balanced and fair market should have 6 months of inventory. And so we have 2.3. So that means it's a very strong seller's market. There's very little inventory for sale and lots of buyers trying to buy. So that's why we call it a seller's market. Sellers have, the slight upper hand.
So my opinion, and Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong, my opinion is it's still not bad to purchase something at asking price. I mean, you don't have to try to, you always hear, "Oh, well, they're always going to list it higher than what they really would accept," and blah, blah, blah. Well, not necessarily in a seller's market. So it's not, I don't think it's bad to actually just offer, as long as your numbers work,
Right.
and you can rent it. And again, depending on where you are in your investment journey, I don't think it's bad to just break even. I don't think a property even has to cash flow huge. Again, this last one that I was just telling you about, this condo, even though I offered less than what the ARV would be on the unit, because of the area, I could only, you know, my rents are in a certain range. And so I'm not cash flowing a bunch, but it's breaking even. So at this point, I look at it that my tenant is buying me a piece of property. And in 5 years, it will be cash flowing, because in 5 years, rents will go up, you know, income will go up for the tenants. My rents will go up just automatically by attrition, and the value of the property is going to go up. And if you did get a mortgage, your mortgage is going to go down. So all of a sudden, you're putting more and more space into that property. And so even if it doesn't cash flow and it isn't making you a large cash flow amount now, it'll just get better and better. I always say all the time that the difference between a good deal, a mediocre deal, and a bad deal is time. Just time.
That's it right there, just redefining what a deal to you is. 5 years ago, yeah, you wanted a property that cash flowed. That was a deal. Now, because of market and economic conditions, if you're just breaking even, that is a good deal. Because like you said, someone's buying you a house. And we just discussed the houses are going up $20,000 a year in value. So you're not paying anything for it. And someone's paying the mortgage for you. And you're capitalizing $20,000 per year on average across the board. So that's what a deal looks like today. Just breaking even. Or even throwing a couple $100s at it. I had a client recently, she bought a duplex and she actually has to pay $100 after both sides are rented out. She has to pay $100 on the mortgage, but she was over the moon happy. Oh my God, I bought a house and I'm only paying $100 a month. Oh my God, right? Like, so it's a bit of cash flow, but she's over the moon happy about it. Like, you have to redefine what a deal is based on market conditions and economic conditions. And if you have unrealistic expectations, you know, sorry, call the next realtor.
No, it is what it is. And you have to stay with the market, which is why calls like this and podcasts like this are so important, because it realigns us with the reality of what's going on.
Right. And the reality is reality. So the next thing I want to look at here is this sold to list ratio. I know you said no one wants to pay full asking price, or we know they listed it too high, you know, not necessarily. Any agent who's worth their salt is not going to want a bad listing. And a bad listing could be one that's overpriced, because if your listing isn't selling and all the other ones in the neighborhood are, it looks bad on your reputation. You know, hey, that guy doesn't know what he's doing. He listed that house way too high. It's been sitting there on the market forever. So a good agent won't take a listing if my sellers are unrealistic. If they want too much money and I don't think we're going to get it, I won't take a bad listing. And then there's going to be an appraisal involved anyway too, right? The bank's going to come in and run a detailed appraisal. And we just had this happen to one of my clients last week. The appraisal came back $40,000 less than the asking price, because the realtor listed it too high. And we tried to negotiate them down. We got them down a little bit, but now here come the appraisal, like a ton of bricks, and it was listed too high. So that could be a problem, but you're going to have an appraisal, right? There will be an appraisal. So the bank will have the final say on the value. But look at this sold to list ratio here right now. People are getting about 98.5% of their asking price. So if you think you're going to get a big deal, oh, I'm going to save 10, 15, 20%, or like Kathy did, I don't know how you pulled that off. Most people are getting 98.5% of their asking price right now. So note that means appraisals and comps are very, very close to what the asking price is, right? You see, the best deal people were getting was back in January. You may be saving 5%. Okay.
I think I did well on mine, because this mom and dad, they're older, and I think they just really didn't want to mess with this unit. And I just happened to be at the right place at the right time. Again, don't look down on an opportunity that falls in your lap.
Exactly. The next little graph down here is the days on market. How long does it take for a new listing to sell? And you can see that that's been decreasing since the winter. So right now we're at about 25 days on market. So on average, when a house gets listed and 25 days later, it's in contract for 98.5% of its asking price. And 25 days on market is very fast. Again, in a normal, balanced, stable, fair market, it's about 6 months to sell a house.
Let me ask you, when they make the offer and the offer is accepted, is that when it is off the market or is it when it closes? Is it off the market?
When it closes. So 25 days on
Oh,
market
20. That's fast then because
25
you've got
days
to go
on
through the
market
whole.
is 25 days on market is when it moves from active into some sort of pending or in contract.
Okay.
25 days of it being actively for sale, and then it moves into some sort of pending or contract.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, that is pretty fast.
As really li as lightning fast. 25 days to get and but you know, sometimes it feels slow because we're so used to instant gratification these days with technology and everything. So you know, some people are like, "Oh, my house hasn't sold yet." I'm like, "We just listed it 3 weeks ago. Like, we're at day 21. The average is 25, so we're still ahead of the
Yeah.
curve." So I know, but it's that hurry up and wait game that's so painful and excruciating, right?
And I think that's what my sellers didn't want to do.
They wanted a faster solution.
Yeah.
Faster, easier. Sometimes it's not always about the money. It's about the path of least resistance, right? You'll take it as is, where is, you'll do the clean out. You don't need an inspection. You don't need an appraisal. You
Exactly.
don't need financing. You pull out all those stops.
And I think that's what did it for them. So don't be afraid to make an offer. You know, if your numbers work at a certain offer, make the offer.
Right. And just because, you know, if they say no to the first offer, you can always amend your offer or negotiate and go back and forth and, you know, keep an eye on things for sure. Just starting that dialogue, just finding the deal. And then maybe you have to redefine what a deal is once you have found it. You know, be amenable, be flexible, be open.
Absolutely.
So are there multiple universes? Maybe. Are there multiple markets? Definitely. So the report we just looked at is from the Central Ohio Columbus, the Columbus region. I'm also, like I said earlier on a slide, I'm a member of two other MLSs, and each MLS software is different. So the MLS software that Mansfield and Ashland uses, they don't give out pretty graphs like this every month. Columbus's is a much more advanced system. But just to compare markets, in the Columbus market, we said the average days on market is 25. And in Mansfield, I looked it up this morning, it's 70. So it's taking almost
Okay.
three times as long for a new listing to sell in Mansfield. So that's, the market moves a little bit slower. But 70 days, you know, that's 2 months, that's still a lot faster than 6 months, which is the national average for a balanced market. So even the Mansfield market is a hot seller's market. It's not as hot as Columbus, but it's still a hot seller's market. Different markets, we also said in Columbus, they were getting 98.5% of asking price. In Mansfield, they're only getting 80% of asking price. So there are more deals to be had in Mansfield. People are paying less than about 20% on average, less than asking price in Mansfield. So if you're not finding any deals where you're at, go and look somewhere else. There are multiple markets, and all of Central Ohio is doing really good. Like I said, Mansfield's slower than Columbus, and we're getting less of our asking price of Columbus, but it is still a strong seller's market. Home values are still going up year after year.
Yes, I tell my clients all the time to just cast their net a little wider.
Very
You'd be
wide. In
surprised.
fact, I cast my net, the picture on the right, I cast my net all the way down to Brazil this year. I'm standing in a new construction developer's office there in Brazil. I went down and looked, checked out condos in that market. Didn't know I wanted one until I was there. Now I have my heart set on buying a $30,000 beachfront condo in Brazil, and that's $30,000 US because
That's amazing.
conversion rate is 6 to 1 for the US dollar. So it's like 200,000 reals to them, but it's $30,000 US to me. So yeah, what does a deal look like? Oh, my new deal is sitting on the equator down in Brazil.
I love it. I love it.
So
Yeah,
yeah.
when I tell my folks to cast their net wider, I didn't have Brazil in mind, but okay.
Never say never.
Never say never.
So there are definitely multiple markets. You want to be looking in multiple markets, open to multiple markets, exploring multiple markets, and every market is going to be different too. Like I said, even though Mansfield and Columbus are both seller's market, they are seller's market to different degrees right now. And here is a map. I stole this from CJ Estill. He posted this a few weeks back, so I went and snagged this off his Facebook this morning. But this just shows you a difference in markets across the U.S. Anywhere where it's kind of the brownish color, that's where they're saying there is less homes for sale now than there were before the pandemic. So homes in those areas, there are now fewer of them for sale. And then the areas in blue are the opposite. There are more homes for sale in those areas now than there were before the pandemic. So different markets have different trends. Things are going up, things are going down, things are going left and right and all around. So when you hear a national news report, oh, the housing market's in a free fall, or, oh, the housing market's gonna pop, or oh, the housing market's hot, the next question is, okay, which market are they talking about? Because look at all of these different markets. Markets are very, very specific. And then there's also micro markets. Even within, like Columbus, for example, there are very, very small micro markets, like the Short North. It's a very, very small, specific neighborhood. If you're looking for the Short North, those trends are even different than what Columbus's trends are. It's going to be in more an exaggerated trend line there because it's a very micro market within a bigger, hotter market. So when you hear anything about the real estate market, you need to ask some questions and do some digging and don't go running thinking that the sky is falling. So
Good
education,
point.
education, education. And if you don't know, better ask somebody. I'll give you my name and number at the end of the show.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. This is such great information.
So if you are looking in multiple markets now, you need to check your drip. And what does that mean? Well, drip has multiple meanings, but here I've got drip as defined by Urban Dictionary. It's very cool swag, very cool clothes. All these kids these days are walking around with their drip, showing off their drip. But when I talk about drip, a drip is actually an email marketing campaign. It's an auto search on the MLS. If you call me up and say, "Hey, Kyle, here's my buy box. Here's what I'm looking for. Help me find some deals," I'm going to set you up on a drip. I'm going to set up an auto search with those parameters you gave me, and it's going to email you when new things match your buy box. So that's what we call a drip in my industry. But the kids these days are dripping real cool with their clothes too, apparently. I'm getting old now, so I just wear polos.
I get it. It's hard to keep up with the kids. No, I encourage everyone that is listening to this podcast, whether you're on live or listening to it later, get connected with a realtor and preferably with Kyle, and have that person, and again, preferably Kyle, send you everything that fits into your buyer's box. So if you're looking at a particular zip code area or a particular city or a price point, or if you're, looking for multifamily or single family, what, or maybe just vacant lots. I've got a gal that's doing new builds. That's her sweet spot. So whatever it is that you're looking for, Kyle can keep that supply coming of things for you to look at, and that will shorten your time each day when you're searching for something that you might be interested in, because now you're getting the specific thing that you want. And again, for me, and we've got Brea on as well with short-term rental, I'm always looking for something for short-term or midterm, and that's why this condo was perfect, this last one that I bought. But I did have to research as soon as I made the decision that I loved the location. Then I did have to research, can it be rented? Can it be a rental, or does it have to be owner occupied? So I wanted to make sure that I could actually use it as a midterm rental, which is what I'm doing. So anyway, do your homework, but get on the list.
Yeah, get on the list. Like Kathy and I mentioned earlier, we both spend a lot of time all day, usually multiple times a day, going back into the apps. Hey, did they add anything new? Hey, is there anything new that I'm looking for over here? Right? On those apps, Realtor, Trulia, Zillow, all of their information, all of those listings come from an MLS.
Yes.
They originate in the MLS first, and then they go out to third parties like Zillow and Trulia, and then you open them up on your computer or your phone and you're browsing and you're looking at them. And then if you're like me, you're like, oh, these deals are selling so fast. I better check again. I can set up your drip so that you don't have to go out and looking for it. When something matches your buy box, it'll send you an email and it'll do it instantly. So if you don't have an email or a text from me, nothing new has been added to the market. You can chill. You can focus on something else. It actually starts to eat up a lot of your time if you're paranoid, constantly checking your phone for new listings. With a drip, it'll send you an email or a text, whatever you prefer, as soon as something that matches your buy box comes up. So if you don't have a text from me, nothing new has been added to the market. You're not missing out on anything. I know fear of missing out is huge, huge right now. So if you've been stressing out about like that, I know one chick was telling me, she goes, oh, I don't have enough time. I spend so much time checking this. And I was like, let me put you on an auto drip. And I had to explain to her what it was and how it works. And she was like, oh my God, this is going to be such a time saver for me. I now mm-hmm. don't have to sit around thinking I'm missing out on a deal, because the system will now automatically notify her when something matches her buy box. But you do have to be working with a realtor to get access to the MLS. It is a private network. It does require realtor credentials. And nowadays, because of a law that passed last year, you actually have to sign a buyer's agreement. You have to sign a contract and hire a realtor. Kind of like a lawyer, how you put down like a, what do they call their deposit? I forget.
Like a retainer?
Retainer fee. Well, I don't charge a retainer fee. Some realtors do. But nowadays, you have to have an established written agreement with a realtor in order for them to be representing you, because the laws changed last year. So you do need a realtor, be working with a realtor to get those drip campaigns set up.
And you know what? Let me just jump in and say this. It would be to everyone's best interest to develop a relationship with someone like Kyle, with a realtor. If you have someone that you're already working with, that you have a relationship with, by all means, go ahead and sign on with them, because they have your best interest at heart. And once they get to know exactly what you're looking for, because again, even though you tell them this is the zip code, this is the price point, is, you know, they're going to be sending you everything that fits that criteria. But once you build a relationship with that realtor, they get to know exactly what you're looking for in that buyer's box. They know if you want something with a light rehab or something with a medium rehab, or maybe you have a skill set where you can enter into something with a heavy rehab. But once they get to know who you are and what it is that you really want within those parameters, then they can really highlight some of those deals for you and say, this is right up your alley, especially if you're not real handy like me. And you know, the more I buy, the less I want to rehab. and so now that I'm kind of heading that direction, doing less of a rehab, I get them rented a whole lot faster and get the income coming in a whole lot faster. So again, build those relationships and don't be afraid to sign a buyer's agreement.
Oh yeah, no, I don't want to say they're non-binding, but basically you can enter into them and dissolve them at will. You know, you can fire your realtor at any time. You know, you're not obligated to do anything. We just have to have that protection in place now because of that law that changed. But yeah, get with a realtor. Don't be afraid of signing anything, because you can cancel it at any time. You know, it's kind of like dating. You know, just because you sign something with the first realtor doesn't mean you're obligated to work with them for life. You know, maybe you don't like that realtor, or maybe they're not doing a very good job for you. You know, not all realtors are created equal. So the next topic here, status specificity. This is a very good example. Status specificity. So of course, you know, you can set up a drip to send you active listings, right? Show me when a new house becomes active, when a new house is for sale. But you know, there are other statuses besides active that you might be interested in. So you need to know what those options are. Your realtor needs to know what those options are, and if new options are being added to the software, which happened recently, or being removed from the software. So before, we used to just have active. Either it was for sale or it wasn't, right? But now we, in Columbus for a few years, we've had the option for coming soon. You can pre-list a house in the MLS. It's not for sale yet, but in a week or two or 3 weeks, it will be. So you can actually put it in the MLS now as a coming soon status, pictures, descriptions, whatnot. But then you can't actually start scheduling tours until the active date. But if your realtor didn't include coming soon in your search, then you might not know that house is coming soon, and you're only going to find out about it the day it goes active. And by then, 40 other people were already aware of it and are in line ahead of you to go see it. So you have to make sure that, you know, you're all of the various statuses are included in your drip. And so when that coming soon was added as an option to the software, all previous drips had to be updated. And every realtor had to go into all of their drips and manually add coming soon to those drips. They didn't do it automatically. So if your realtor didn't do that for you, you were missing out on a new feature that got added to the software. There's also back on the market. So if something goes into contract, it's in contract, you know, pending, someone's going to buy it and then they back out or the deal falls apart or whatever. There's a specific status for that in Columbus. It's called back on market. In Mansfield, it just goes back to active. In Columbus, it can actually be marked as back on market. Wouldn't you like to know what's active because it's new versus what's active because it came back on the market for some reason? Sure, you would. That's like a separate kind of list, right? Same thing with deleted. Okay. What about houses that didn't sell? They were deleted or withdrawn from the MLS. Why didn't they sell? Wouldn't you want to call some of those people and find out what happened? Why'd they take their house off the market? Maybe there's a deal to be had there if you have a conversation. Ditto with expireds. You know, a realtor listed it. The guy said, okay, I'll give you 6 months to sell my house. 6 months comes and goes. It never sold and it automatically expires and disappears from the MLS. Wouldn't you like to see a report of those once in a while and have conversations with those sellers about what's going on? Sure, I would.
Absolutely.
Then you also want to just anything that you might think you're not even interested in. Oh, I definitely don't want to look at condos. Oh, I definitely don't want to look at duplexes. Well, when these things get entered into the system, they're entered in by humans. And oftentimes assistants and you know part-timers and whatnot. So mistakes happen. Things get entered into the MLS incorrectly all the time. Or even if it is correct, it's like a technicality kind of a thing. Like, so my house that I'm sitting in here, when I bought it, it was listed as a duplex. Well, I wasn't interested in duplexes at the time. I wanted a single family home, right? Well, this was a single family home at one point. Someone put up a pony wall and added an extra kitchen and called it a duplex. So it was listed as a duplex. But if I had not been looking at duplexes, I would have missed this house. All I had to do was grab a hammer, tear down a wall, and boom, it's back to a single family home. But I would never have found it had I been ignoring duplexes, had I had my mind closed to those options, had I had a very, very specific buy box, I erased one of those options. And all of these new opportunities appeared before me. So you had to look at each house, you know, on a case-by-case basis. This house had the ability to change it from a duplex back to a single family very, very easily.
And at the other side of the coin, it could very easily be turned back into a duplex should your life
I
take
could put
a
that wall
turn.
right back up.
Yes.
So exit strategies change, plans change, life
Yes.
changes, right? If you're open and amenable to go with the flow. But you know, these unusual and incorrect listings, they take a little bit of digging. But right now, there's only 6 weeks of inventory out there. You might have to do a little extra work. You might have to do a little extra digging, right? You're not going to find gold unless you go digging and sifting.
I love it.
Yeah, so there are opportunities everywhere as long as you're looking for them and staying open to changing what an opportunity is. But pocket listings from your SOI. So what is a pocket listing? It's a listing that's not hit the MLS yet in your SOI, your sphere of influence, people you know, or heck, people you don't know, right? Say hi to strangers, it works. So like Kathy said, someone called her up and said, hey, I've got something that's not even on the market yet.
Yes.
Throw your hat in the ring, right? Family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, even if you don't like them, talk to them. And for me, being a realtor, past, present, and future clients, my past clients call me up. Hey, can you run comps on my house? I'm thinking about selling. Present clients, hey, you know, I'm thinking about selling. Future clients, hey, I'm thinking about selling or buying. So I've got a list of people. I know three houses that are coming up for sale this year in Mansfield at various times later in the year, based off what's going on in that client's life. So I have three pocket listings right now that nobody knows about except me. and then my sphere of influence, who I can inform.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm out, doing my thing, if I hear someone saying, hey, I would like to buy a house over in the Glenwood neighborhood, well, actually, Stephen Santos is going to be selling his house in Glenwood in a few months. So that's that right there too, networking. Your sphere of influence, your friends, your family, people who already know you, people who don't know you, you can say hi to strangers and talk to them. You know, me and Teddy love to go walk around the nice neighborhoods that we wished we lived in. And you see someone out on their porch or gardening, you know, hey, we love those flowers, or hey, what kind of dog is that? You know, strike up a conversation with people and you never know where it'll lead you.
Yes, exactly. I love that. I love that.
Party like it's 1999. Continuing that theme, we know when you're going to engagement ceremonies and weddings and anniversaries, you know, these people are going to get married or they're having an anniversary. Maybe they want to buy a house or buy a bigger house or downsize to a smaller house. Baby showers. Oh, you got more kids than you got bedrooms. You're probably going to need to sell that house, aren't you? I'll buy it. Graduation parties. You know, oh, we were waiting for the last kid to get out of the house. Now we want to sell and move to Florida, move to Arizona. Cool. I'll buy your house. Get on out of here. And also, unfortunately, funerals, too. Funerals, you know, I don't want to be an ambulance chaser, but if someone has died, they've probably passed the house on to someone else. And if that someone else doesn't want to buy it, maybe you can.
And again, I think you just have to keep your eyes and ears open.
Eyes and ears open.
Opportunities. Yep.
But like I said, these kinds of things, if you've got an invite in the mail, oh, I don't want to go to a baby shower. Well, why not? You never know where a deal might be hiding. Go turn that rock over and see if you find a deal. You're saying, I can't find any deals. Well, are you missing some very obvious opportunities that are happening right in front of you?
And sometimes it requires you, meaning you, those of you that are listening to this podcast, either now live or later the recording, sometimes it requires you to actually brush up on what we call your elevator speech. You know, almost everywhere that you go, whether you go, to just a dinner party, a shower, graduation, wherever, a lot of times when you're meeting folks, either for the first time or you're running into some family that you haven't seen in years, one of the things that they'll say is, well, what is it that you're doing now? And all you need to do is make sure that you weave the phrase that I also invest in real estate into what you're doing now. And sometimes that's just enough to open the conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like Kathy says, you got to speak it into existence, even if you have never invested before, but mm-hmm. you're trying to go ahead and start identifying as a real estate investor. Hi, my name is Kyle and I identify as a real estate investor.
Yeah, no, I love that. Just say, yeah, and I invest in real estate, even if it's just an added thing that you add on, you know, like, oh, I work at ABC company, but I also invest in real estate.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yep, just keeping, you know, just being out there networking, socializing, just living life, but doing it with, you know, a set of ears on and your eyes open and, you know, saying the right thing. Sometimes I overheard someone in line the other day. Saying, oh, my mom went into the nursing home and we're trying to decide whether we should rent or sell the house. I just heard someone else having this conversation out in public and I went up and introduced myself and, you know, gave them a business card. And you can do the same thing. And even if you're not a licensed realtor or a licensed this or that, even if you're just, you know, anybody can make a business card. If you mm-hmm. if you want to make business cards that you can hand out to people, you've seen those signs, we buy junk houses, we buy junk cars, you know, you can make a business card. Call yourself an entrepreneur or real estate investor or anybody can have a business card. And it's a great way to walk up to strangers and like, hey, I couldn't help but overhearing your conversation. Here's take my card. Give me a call. And then you don't have to do the awkward, get out your phone and let me take your number. Mm-hmm. Business card. It's a bit more old school, but there are of course pros and cons to that too.
Well, it's less threatening, I think, when you're meeting somebody for the first time, because if they walk out and put your card in the trash can, oh, well, It wasn't like you're asking them for their phone number and they
right.
feel like
that's
you're
a lot
getting
more
too personal.
Hey, give me your yeah. phone number or take out your phone and program my number into yours right now on the spot while I walk.
Yeah.
You know, the business card, you know, it serves a very good purpose. And like you said, even if someone throws it down on the ground, I had a client call me one time and she goes, I don't know where I got your card. I think I found it on the ground. Well,
that
then
works.
I looked up my Zillow reviews and found my Facebook and was like, hey, yeah, I'm calling this guy. And I was like, I'm going to start sprinkling business cards around parking lots. Speaking of parking lots, driving for dollars. This is a phrase a lot of people do. Just get out and drive around, go for a Sunday drive. Me and Teddy love to go to garage sales, and we went to some over the weekend. And the woman mentioned they were having a garage sale because they want to move. They had to start getting rid of their stuff. She said, "Everything must go. Make me an offer. We're moving." Pulled out my business card. "Do you have a realtor yet?" And if you're not a realtor, if you're someone looking to buy, or you know someone who's looking to buy, these garage sales, why are they selling all their stuff? Maybe they're moving away. Maybe there's a pocket listing opportunity here. Same thing with cleanouts. You see the picture of the car here. We were driving around and people had set all these beautiful old doors out by the dumpster. They were cleaning out the house. So we stopped and asked, "Hey, what the heck is going on? Are you giving those doors away? I'll fit them in my hatchback car. Why are you doing that?" They were cleaning out the house, and they were going to renovate it so that they could sell it. So when you see someone doing cleanouts and renovations, that also might be an indicator that that house is up for grabs or will be up for grabs soon. Stop and have a conversation and score some free doors.
I'm telling you, I love this picture of your car with the door in the back. That it's so appropriate for how I live my life. We're constantly finding things and constantly doing garage sales and clean outs
I keep a box of bungee cords and caution tape in my trunk because this is not the first time I've driven down the road with something twice the length of my car hanging out the back of it. Ask
Yeah,
me
me
if
too.
I
I
can.
get it. I love it.
Those doors at the salvage store are like $300 to $400 each. So look, I just scored $800 worth of free doors.
Yep, I understand completely. And
I'm driving
again,
around.
I have to go back to my latest deal, that condo that just kind of fell in my lap. I furnished a 2-bedroom condo out of my garage. And
Stuff
folks,
you
a
already
lot of,
had.
yeah, I already had the furniture. And folks are always saying, "Aren't you afraid that somebody's going to come along and steal stuff out of your garage?" And I said, "No, I'm afraid they're not going to bring a big enough truck."
But also when you're driving around, if you see for rent signs, call that person. Maybe they were on the fence. Should I rent it one more year or should I sell it? Maybe they haven't been able to get any rent interest, or maybe they've had a horrible experience with tenants. Call for rent signs. They might be open to selling if the price is right, right? So you won't know if you don't ask. And then neglect too. If you see houses that aren't mowing the lawn, the mail is piling up, stuff like that. Maybe there's something going on there too. Go up and knock, or if you're shy, leave your business card and have them call you. You can mail them, write that, make a note of the address and mail them a handwritten letter or something if you want to. So there's lots of ways to uncover those deals, but you're going to have to get up off your butt and stop looking at Zillow and go out there into the real world and try something. And it's not hard.
Absolutely.
It's fun. It's fun. We
It
had a hoot
is fun.
garage sailing all weekend long and then getting those doors and stuff. So
Yeah, it is fun.
there's also new construction. If you're fancy, what does a deal look like? New construction down here, incentives and off in-house financing. Right now I've got a client, she's pre-qualified for a $300,000 home. If she wanted to go shopping for a I won't say used home, but an existing home. If you remember back on that slide, what's the average home price being listed in Columbus right now? 370,000. She's pre-approved for 300,000. I took her to my buddy over who works in new construction, and he got her approved for 400,000 with the same monthly payment. So for the same monthly payment on a 300,000 existing house, she could buy a $400,000 new house because of their in-house financing. Their interest rate is a 1 full percentage lower than what the bank is offering, which gave her $100,000 more in buying power for the same monthly payment.
That's crazy. And she gets a brand new house.
A brand new house, 30-year warranty on the roof, 30-year warranty on the foundation, brand new appliances, brand new paint, brand new carpet, all of the things brand spanking new for the same payment she would have had on a $300,000 used house, which who knows what repairs lie in your future. Trust me, I know.
Welcome to home ownership, Kyle.
But again, just redefining what a deal is. Oh, I couldn't possibly handle $400,000. Oh, I'm not interested in new construction. You know, they don't have as much character or charm. Or, oh, there's no new construction in the Short North. I want to stay in the Short North. You're right. The Short North is dense. It's maxed out. They're not building new houses in the Short North. You're right. But if you open your mind up a little bit, oh, I didn't know I could qualify for new construction, you know, and hey, maybe the pros and cons of me not having to worry about roof and foundation and things for so many years is a wonderful trade-off to not being in the exact neighborhood that you wanted to be, right? Now, if you decide to go with new construction, make sure you call a realtor, take an agent with you before you go, because when you get there on the property, those people work for those sellers. They don't work for you. They don't work for you. You need someone who works for you. So use an agent, even if you are going to buy new construction, because those people work for the construction company. They're not your friend. They're trained to act like they're your friend. They're not your friend.
Yeah.
I'm your friend. Call me.
Yeah. Their job is to get you to sign on the dotted line.
As fast as possible and with asking with as least amount of questions as possible. But it's all about education. That's just it. I call myself an educator. Just get educated. Sometimes you learn the hard way, don't you?
Yeah, but good point to have an agent, yes, on a new build.
Consider new construction, absolutely. Down in Brazil, that $30,000 condo, it's going to be a brand new condo, brand new. They're building it right now. Mm-hmm. New construction. Never thought I'd buy a brand new condo on the beach anywhere in the world.
My girlfriend just bought brand new construction in Myrtle Beach, North Myrtle Beach, and they're allowing rentals in that subdevelopment. And so she is now purchasing another new construction to use as a rental.
I'm very familiar with Myrtle Beach and North Myrtle Beach. I went to school at Coastal Carolina University, which is in.
Okay.
And my favorite beach to go to was 82nd Avenue, which is the last avenue from where it switches from Myrtle Beach to North Myrtle Beach.
Okay. Good to know.
Small world.
Yeah.
Micro markets everywhere. Also, when you're driving around, you might see one of these signs here, for sale by owner. That's someone who's trying to go it alone and not list with an agent. These will not be on the MLS, which means then they're probably also not on Zillow, Realtor.com, and Trulia too, because that's where they get their information from. Now, you can pay and have your listing added to those apps and those websites directly, but unless this owner did that, unless they took the gumption to do that, then it's not online. And you know, a lot of older people, you know, mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know how to do all that fancy technical stuff. I'm just going to stick a sign in the yard and hope for the best. So, you know, even if you are checking for sale by owner.com and Craigslist and all this and that, just it might not be listed on the internet. Some people aren't tech savvy or they don't want to put it on the internet. You know, that opens up a whole can of worms. And you've got all the spammers and scammers calling you and reaching out to you and stuff too. So when you're driving around, if you see these for sale by owner signs, you know, this is another opportunity possibly knocking at the door. And, you know, keep an eye out on yard signs, newspapers. You know, some people are still old school and advertising in the newspaper, Facebook, Craigslist, all of these options. But for sale by owners are a good opportunity, maybe, for you to buy a house also. But also in this situation, you want to use a realtor. Just because he chose not to use a realtor help him doesn't mean you don't need a realtor to help you. You want to make sure you're not getting spammed or scammed, and you want to know right all the right questions to ask and make sure you're getting the right inspections and contingency clauses. So just because something's for sale by owner doesn't mean that you have to go on unrepresented. You also need an agent in this scenario too.
Good point.
Come on down. You're the next contestant. So now that we know how to find deals, everyone needs to get into the game like yesterday. Like yesterday. The best time to get into real estate was yesterday. The next second best time is today.
Yes, I agree.
So spin that wheel. This is a picture of me and Uncle Teddy. We actually went to The Price is Right a few years ago. So we didn't get called up on the stage to play the game, but afterwards they let everyone go up and get their picture in front of the wheel. So that was a lot of fun.
That is too fun. I love it.
And that brings us to the top of the hour. How'd we do?
Wow. You are right on the money there, Kyle. I love it. Wow. This is amazing. I'm going to let you stop sharing your screen. We're going to open it up to any questions that anybody might have. And so my biggest question right off the top, and Marty had to jump off, by the way, so that's why you don't see Marty now. My biggest question, Kyle, is if I'm looking, and this is kind of for Brea, if I'm looking for something that I want to use as a short-term rental instead of something that I'm using as a long-term rental, how do I have to search differently? What's different between those two types of finds?
Well, so like there's not going to be like a box that says that on the MLS, hey,
Right.
short term or midterm. I would look at what kind of things, what kind of amenities are nearby. If it's short term, people's coming in for the weekend, want to rent it out and leave, places that are near, the hotspots, the nightlife, the restaurants, the stadiums, the theaters, that kind of stuff. Those are probably well poised for short term. And then midterm, we all think of nurses, right? Traveling nurses. So anything near a hospital, or even universities, they have traveling professors as well, or traveling students, right? So depending on if it's short term or midterm, what amenities
Okay.
are nearby, that would probably really to help you define what's going to be more lucrative. And then also I go and look. How many, if I was going to this place and I was looking for a short term or midterm, go and do some research. Pretend to put yourself in the renter's shoes and go and look and see what the options are. And if there's a bunch of really cool rentals out there and over the top decor, and you're just going to bring something kind of basic, maybe that's not the right area for you if there's already really, really stiff competition. Or the opposite in Mansfield. Everything around here is kind of boring and lackluster. So Santos did some really cool design in his, and so it really pops. It jumps out at you when you're looking at all the other bland listings, and he stays booked up just because he's got fun, whimsical, creative design.
I love that. I love that. So I want to add just one more thing to that. Even though you find something that you think could work as a midterm or a short term, I also do my numbers long term because that way, if for any reason the area doesn't perform the way you thought it would with those midterm or short term numbers, which of course are higher, so you get some cash flow. If for some reason they don't perform as well as you were anticipating, you still have an exit strategy in long term. You still can say, well, you know what? I'm not doing as well as I thought I would with this as a short term, or I'm not getting the interest I thought I would get as a midterm. But by golly, I can still put it out there as a long term investment, and I'm still going to at least break even, if not cash flow, long term. So I always make sure that my numbers work as a long term. And then if I can do it mid or short, that's just icing on the cake.
All the better, right? But yeah, keep all the options on the table.
Kyle, can I jump in and ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
So do you work with people who are looking for properties for short-term rentals? Because the friend I was referring to at the start of this, she is looking to get into short-term rentals, and she's out in Columbus, and you're out there. And I was like, maybe I could, let her know, hey, I just met this really awesome guy named Kyle. Maybe you two should connect.
Yeah, absolutely. If she's in Columbus, she should definitely connect with me and Kathy, because if she's beginning her journey, that's what Kathy does. Kathy teaches people how to get into real estate investing, and she's got all kinds of free material available online. There is a premium membership option as well, but no pressure. She doesn't have to sign anything, and she can start off with the free stuff, see if she likes the vibe and whatnot. But yeah, absolutely, definitely. She needs to get with me and Kathy.
Okay, perfect,
Yes.
perfect.
Yes. Do you see the chat there, Brea? Can you see
Yeah, I sent
Kyle's
my
information? Oh
name,
yeah.
email, and phone number in the group chat.
Yeah, and I
Yeah.
put mine there as well. And I have a strategy call button on my website. So if you go to kathybinner.com, she can book a strategy call if she'd like. Just a
Right,
little
because
chat.
I was telling her like, I'm not really like the go-to person for like specifically buying and purchasing and things like that. I'm more on like the once you get it set up, I can kind of help manage from there. So I don't want to give any, bad advice or anything. So I just wanted to point her in the
Yeah,
right
definitely.
direction.
There's many steps in the process, right? We can't all be experts on all of them. So it takes a team. You have to build a team. And I believe that's one of Kathy's topics too, right? Building
Yes.
the
Yes, building the team. Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, guys. Thank
Yes,
you.
I love that. Thank you so much for being on the call today, Brea, and thank you for asking a question. We have Adrian. I just wanted to say hi to Adrian. Sue had to jump off. She had another meeting as well, and we had Marty earlier, and Marty had to jump off because she has a Marty had another meeting right at 1, so she jumped off right at 1 o'clock. Adrian, any comments or questions for Kyle while you're online today? Adrian might be multitasking. I know this is a work day for him.
He says hi in the chat.
Yes, I see that. No questions. All right. Kyle, thank you so much. This is recorded, so it will be uploaded into all of our podcast channels. We are on YouTube, we're on Vimeo, we're also on Audioboom. Once it goes on to Audioboom shares it then with like eight additional podcasting channels. We're on Spotify and Apple. Oh gosh, I forget all the different ones. But anyway, we're on several different channels. So you'll find us if you just Google the podcast. Again, you can go to kathybenner.com and there is a podcast tab right there on the website. And that'll
I
take you
also
over.
think Kathy Benner is on the New York Times best-selling list too, isn't she?
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. I've got
Ooh.
my third book just came out in April, and it is number one on Amazon. And it's yeah,
Wow.
we're doing
That is
really well.
incredible.
So
For Kathy.
my fourth book is scheduled for next April. So yeah, we're working on it now.
That's incredible.
Perfect. Thank you for that, Kyle. And look for the magazine again. There's a tab at kathybenner.com, and you can click through, and all of the publications are there. All of the books are there, and all of the magazine publications are there. And Kyle, I don't know if you know this. If you scroll clear to the bottom of any given magazine publication or edition, if you scroll clear to the bottom, it has the links to all the previous editions as well.
Oh, good.
Yep, so you can print any of those that you would like to print.
Because I'm old school, I still print things.
I know, I do too. I do too. All right. Well, thank you for this, and we will see everyone next time. Kyle, thank you so much for being on. I appreciate this, and I will send you a copy of the links. If you can use them in any way in any of your marketing, feel free to do so.
Will do.
Thank
Awesome.
you.
All right. And Brea, join us again next time.
For sure. Thanks so much. This was really informative.
Good, good, good. And Adrian, thank you so much for being on with us today. We'll see everyone next time.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.